Why do bad things happen to good people?
That's why.
Okay. The ultimate question in Judaism or in any religion that believes in an all-powerful being: how does God allow evil to succeed and bad, good people to die, or good people to die, suffer, etc.? We can do that. We can with the sources if you want to. Okay. That's very heavy, and you may come out more upset than you started. Or we can take two other topics. I can tell you the topics if you want to, but that's not necessary. What do you guys prefer?
Fun.
Sorry?
The first topic.
I heard. Yes?
Can.
Okay. Okay, go for it. Go
on. Why bad things happen to people? Why bad things happen to
people? Do the other topics? Next time. Okay. Before we start, Mashiach, I want to hear from you. By the way, somebody in Shul says, I don't want you to go through all the sources. Nahum, I want you to, we want to hear you, we don't want to see the sources so much. I don't know if that's true. I think you want to see the sources, because the sources are what reveal to us, you know, when it's not me. Okay, but anyway, before we start, I want to hear from you, based on all of your education or non-education, which you probably never heard about in school, because again, rabbis are afraid to talk about it. What is your view of the Jewish Messiah? What do you think is going to happen?
Donkey comes to mind.
What?
A donkey comes to mind.
Okay, you know why they say he's going to come on a donkey? Because to get to the Har HaBayit, going through the old city, you can't go by car. So a donkey can make it, you know? But a donkey, but that's, I'm asking you, how will life change and who will be Mashiach? Simple question. Simple question, not easy answer. Will life change? How will life change?
I'm asking that, is there such, will there be such a person as a Mashiach, or is it just a longing?
You think it's just a longing, we'll never get there. We'll come to it. The answer is no, it's a real person. We'll come to that. Okay?
They talk about Mashiach and Daniel and Ezekiel. We just read it.
They talk about it in a lot of places. Life in Ashkelon be different?
I think.
You don't have any problems with the area. That's Mashiach.
It'll be easier to get a doctor's appointment.
Well, I thought it was supposed to be just that there will be one person that even the non-Jews will recognize as like, oh my gosh, the Jews were right all along.
Excellent. Okay.
And
we'll see.
But that they somehow are able to appeal to everybody's seichel or lack thereof. Sorry.
Let's assume that you're right, and that the whole world says the Jews were right all along, and we agree to believe in their God. How does that change your life in Ashkelon?
No more missiles.
No more?
Missiles.
Okay. So let's say, so the only difference between no more war. Okay? You say no more war, right? We'll come to it.
I think the role of Jews in the world will be different because at that point, we are supposed to be, in the time of the Mashiach, we're supposed to be like real teachers and ministers around the world. Not ministers. We are supposed to have a unique role in the world, especially at that time.
I'm going to tell you a secret. You're supposed to be doing that
now. I know.
That's one of the problems that the Jewish people does not understand. He said, we read it on what do you call it, on Friday, right? It says, you will be in Skulam Yikolam, you will be special among the nations, and you are going to be the, if you will call the messengers of God and bring the word of God to all the other people. That happened at Sinai. So Mashiach will be a lot easier when we open to the message, but that's not the beginning of that idea. Okay, it's very good that we're doing this topic tonight, because most people, as like you, have no clue what Mashiach is. All right? So let's go through some of the sources. And the first thing you have to understand, and we're going to base it on source number two, but belief in Mashiach is a bedrock. Now, there aren't many beliefs in Judaism. You can see a Jew who doesn't have any beliefs at all. If you keep going to the Torah, you're going to Olam Haba, you are the greatest Jew around. You don't have to have any belief system. But nevertheless, the Rambam, for, and many others, for the people who wanted belief system, most of the religions have a belief system. But unlike those religions, in Judaism, for example, in Christianity, you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell. Doesn't make a difference what you do. Doesn't make a difference how good a person you are. I don't believe in Jesus. It's all about belief, right? And many other religions. You don't have belief, that's more important than everything. In Judaism, it's more important how you behave, how you, a day-to-day, how kind of person you are. But in addition, there are certain beliefs, okay? Now, and we'll see how deep the belief is in Mashiach. The Rambam used this, at, if I'm not mistaken, yes, the 12th out of the 13th beliefs of the Rambam, source number one, Ani Mamin, what the Jews sang as they were going to the camps in the Holocaust, as a way of showing that they're not losing their faith. Ani Mamin Be'emunah Shleima, no matter what's happening now, I believe with a pure belief, full belief, the Biyat HaMashiach, that a person called Mashiach, we'll see what the word Mashiach is in a minute, will be coming. The Afal Pisha Yitmameya, and even though he delays, okay, Im Kozeh HaKelo, with all that, even though it's been 2,000 years, 3,000 years, I will not waver in my belief, and I will wait, actively wait, B'chol Yom Sheyavo. Okay? That's the Rambam, etc. Okay? First of all, what is the name, what does the word Mashiach mean, Messiah? Or in Latin, Christ?
Like a savior. Someone
no.
No, 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 warrant.
Interestingly
Lishbo.
Enough, King Charles.
Lishbo.
King?
Okay. King Charles had, as part of his ceremony, something that goes back many, many hundreds of years, he had brought oil from Jerusalem, and they anointed him with oil. Why? Because to be a king, it wasn't about crowns. It was about, for some whatever the reason, that was the custom then. You were anointed. There was oil that was placed on your head in some special ceremony, etc., etc. And every Jewish king was anointed that way. Okay? Mashiach means a person who was anointed. In other words, a Jewish king. The word Christ means anointed.
Does it?
Yes. It does not mean, that's what it means. Okay? Yes, the word Christian means, you know, somebody who believes in the anointed. They believe that Jesus was anointed or will be anointed. I don't think he was anointed. I'm pretty sure he wasn't. Anointed. Yes. See, you learn something. It's worth coming to.
That's Jesus the anointed.
Yes. That's why certain Jews don't like to say Christmas or Christ or whatever, because it's like saying we believe that that Jesus is the anointed and will come anointed. Not only that, we believe that who will be the anointed king? He will come from where?
David.
Right, it will be from the Davidic dynasty. And many Jews and non-Jews have gone to the great lengths to prove that they are from the Davidic dynasty. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who compiled the Mishnah, said he can trace his, you know, it's unbelievable. We can't trace anything else generation to generation, generation to generation, most things, right? Can't even trace. Who were George Washington's great-great-grandchildren? You should be able to trace. It's only 250 years. Right? Right? Nobody knows. When it comes, we can go back 3,200 years and know generation, 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 generation. Okay? So Yehuda HaNasi had a tradition, etc., that he was from the Davidic line. Maimonides says that he was from the Davidic line, I believe, and then the Vilna Gaon says he was from Maimon. Anyway. But it's very important to be from the Davidic line, so much so that the Christians went like this to try to prove that Jesus was from the Davidic line, even though it's clear from all the texts that we have that he wasn't a member of the tribe of Judah. But it was important to them because that's the tradition. It's going to be from Judah. And we're not going to go into the Christian, once I wrote this to you, I once gave this in the Israel Center I think based on a film, yeah. And they put it in the, you know, in the newspaper that I was giving it. All of a sudden, 6 out of 50 people, 6, 7 Christians showed up. They wanted to hear what, and started arguing. Doesn't it mean this? There's this verse. thank God I can answer, but it's not the point. To Christians, it's a much more, how should I say, fundamental issue than it is to us. It's Hans, it's one of 13, it's one of, okay. Well, let's understand something. Why is it that you couldn't tell me details of what life will be in the end times? But if I were to ask you a detailed question about one mitzvah, you'll all get the right answer. What color is tefillin?
Black.
Black. There's no mention of black tefillin in the Torah. And yet you all know, because there's no disagreement. Throughout the history, all the ages, that was the, how should I say, the Torah Sheba'al Peh, the oral law, everybody agreed that tefillin wasn't black. There weren't different opinions. Look what the Rambam says. When it comes to Messiah, there's no one tradition. Take a look, source number two. The Chol Elu Anfarim, and all the things that relate to Messiah, Uchiyotze Bahem, Lo Yeda Adam Ech Yiyu Ashiyu. Nobody, no rabbi, nobody knows exactly how it's going to come about until it actually comes about. Shed Devarim Stumim. Although we're going to see many verses, there was no, it was hidden. There's no one tradition. Not only were the prophets not specific about Mashiach, but even the rabbis after the prophets were not specific. They were very specific if you look in the Gemara, but they disagree about everything. Okay? Elohim Kabbalah Bidvarim. There's nothing, that there is no Masoretic Kabbalah, what's the word in English? If you want to call it transmission, right, or tradition, and therefore, like black tefillin, they had to interpret what the psukim meant. We're not going to go through every single opinion, but there are all kinds of opinions in the Talmud. For example, in the if you look at the ninth parak of Brachot, you have page after page after page, about 6-7 pages there, describing what is in Brachot. That's fine, it's not hidden. There'll be about what Messianic times will be. So there's one sentence. Messianic times, Mashiach will come when the entire generation is righteous. Another thing, that Messianic will come when the entire generation is evil. It's the opposite, right? The entire generation will come when the children have such chutzpah and they talk back to the parents. So every generation thinks they're the only ones that happens. But it happens in every generation, that they feel that the children don't have the right respect to their parents. And there are many, many statements like that. And the Rambam says, we don't know. And we can't know. So we're going to follow the Rambam. which has become today, I would say, more or less the, maybe because he was a rationalist, more or less the, if you want to call it, the normative approach to Mashiach. But the idea that this Mashiach will be a person, Rambam says, you don't believe in that. You're not really part of the Jewish people. Okay? And why is this important? Because when reform came about, and even conservative, and they talked about principles, and they kept talking, let's get rid of ritual, we're going to keep all the values of Judaism, and we're going to take out Jerusalem from the text, but that's no longer important. One of the things they didn't talk about, or they got rid of, was Mashiach. Right? But look what the Rambam says. I wouldn't say today. I don't know what reform is. There's no such thing as reform theology today, because they're very close to mitzvot, and each person forms their own opinion. There isn't a philosopher or philosophy of Reformed Conservative Judaism like there was 100 years ago, or 300 years ago, 200 years ago. What the Rambam says, the Rambam lived in the 1200s. The Chol Mi She'eino Ma'amin, source number three. Chol Mi She'eino Ma'amin Bo, anybody doesn't believe that there will be a person called Mashiach who will come. O Mi She'eino Mechakel Biyato, two different things. You don't actively wait for Mashiach to come. What does it mean to actively wait? We'll come back in a second. Lo b'sha'ar nebiyin nevadu kofir. He is not only denying all the prophets. Ela the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is if he doesn't believe the Torah of Moshe. Okay? That's pretty heavy stuff, right? If you don't believe it, it's going to be a Messiah. It's just a concept. You know, it's not really going to happen. You know, even in Leo's story, he'd say, they sing Hoshana Bar Yerushalayim from the at the end of the end of Pesach, the end of and they say, after they sing, the wife comes to the husband and says, you know, what happens if Mashiach really comes? We're gonna have to leave our house in months. We're gonna have to leave wherever it happens. He says, nah, it's just a song. This is the first generation, maybe, when if Mashiach came, a lot of observant Jews may not go so fast, not coming out of the yard so fast, but that's, and the rabbi said again, continues, he says in another, you have to believe and wait. What does that mean to wait for Mashiach? So where is that based on? So it's number four in Habakkuk, it says, Ki od chazon lamoed, this is a famous Torah, that was a prophecy about the time when Mashiach will come, Yafech l'keitz, the end of days, which we'll see, v'lo yichazek, and you will not disappoint this belief, in yitmameach hakelo. Habakkuk says, if he delays, we'll see what the word delay means, wait for him. Ki vo yavo lo yacher, there will be a Mashiach. Okay? It's one of, again, this is not, source number five is not a halacha, but it's a very nice guidepost. We know that when we come to Kadosh Baruch Hu after 120 years, there's another Gemara that says God's going to play, obviously it'll be sped up, but he's going to play a videotape of our lives before us, and we have to sign that everything that was played was accurate, and then our judgment will come, correct? And then it says God will ask a few questions on what kind of Jewish life you observed. Now, what do you think? If you don't know source number five, be the first question God would ask you. What's the most important thing in Judaism if you live the Jewish life?
Were you nice to other people?
Were you what?
Nice to other people.
Nice to other people? Okay.
Shabbat.
Mitzvah. No, mitzvah.
Shabbat.
What?
Shabbat.
Hoshana Rabba?
No, Shana Rabba.
Shana Rabba. Shana Rabba. Look what source Shabbat Gemara says. That's why I bring the source. It's an amazing, amazing source. This is what the rabbis thought. Okay? Amar Rabba, at least what Rabba thought. This is the only place that it says what they will ask you specifically. When they bring a person to be judged after 120 years, Amrimlo, question number one. Natzata v'natata v'emunah. Were you honest in business? Were you honest? That's the first question. Not about how you treat, but because it's not treating is a, I would say subjective. Honesty is more objective. You treat somebody out of a deal, sometimes only you're the only one that knows, but it's objectively provable. Kavate itim la Torah. Did you set aside time to learn Torah on Wednesday night at 8:15? Okay. Or any other time, or 10 minutes a day. It doesn't say how long, and it doesn't say how much you learned. It says if you made it important enough that you took out time every single day to learn Torah. Nothing about davening, interestingly enough. Asakta b'piriyah v'ribya. Did you try to have children? What it means, it obviously doesn't mean that you try to have children. If you were not successful trying to have children, obviously God does not hold that against you. But people have explained that it means Asakta piriya ribya, not before birth, but after birth. So if you spend time bringing up children in the right way, okay, which we all think is important. But the fourth one, Sipita Yeshua, did you wait for Mashiach? That's the fourth question, okay? Not the first question, by the way, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, source number six is a Soloveitch that we know from
how do we know that's Mashiach?
Well, Yeshua, did you wait? Sipita, did you wait for salvation? Okay? So they didn't use the word Mashiach, but there was salvation of the Jewish people. That is the parallel of you with the Mashiach.
Isn't there one piece in the Gomorrah that says not to wait for Mashiach?
Say that again?
Isn't there one piece in Gomorrah, I remember seeing something that said not wait for Mashiach?
Okay. No. But there's nothing to say, all right, Mashiach, but there are all kinds of unbelievable sources in the Gemara that have not become part of normative Judaism. So, for example, there's one opinion that says Mashiach already came, like the Christians, if you will, and they shouldn't wait for Mashiach, because there's no Mashiach coming, right? one sort. And they said, how can you say that? There's not a Mashiach, nothing that Mashiach was born on the day of the Korban. There's all kinds of, as I said, there's no, Rambam says no tradition. So you have wild stuff in the Talmud. Many, many wild opinions. That's why I'm bringing it to you after the Talmud, because, you know, how do we know what to believe? How do we know what we should believe? So Rav Soloveitchik's, this is, I think, is his cousin, Grizz, maybe his uncle, okay? Rav Soloveitchik, Zeev Soloveitchik, he wrote the following. What does it mean to wait for Mashiach? Source number six. Areshech yuve emuna beviat ha-Mashiach. What is the actual obligation that we have regarding coming Mashiach? He lo rak sheyavo, belief that there will be a person, a man who will come, a pam, one time, maybe in the future. Ela achiyuv, the obligation is, gam lechakot lebiyato, to actively wait. V'hainu sheyen lahamin, shehine mamash hayom. You have to wait for Mashiach, as if he came today, you wouldn't be surprised. That's what means waiting is, right? If you came today, I wouldn't be surprised. I'll tell you two stories about that in a second. Naomi, this is, he lived in 1950s, 60s, about 70s. I said, huba, huba, avalima, mimi biyato. But if he believes in a general concept, like you said at the beginning, who knows when he come? Avalmi yodea matai, who knows when he's coming? Chaser bo bebeunato, that's a lack of faith. Who kofer, as if he is an apostate, he denies Mashiach. The hayam akish ki tzarich kayem yishuatcha ki vinu kol hayom. For the salvation, we wait every day. We say that, where do we say that? At Tzemach David, we say in the Shmon Esrei, right? Ki vinu kol hayom. Every single day, we wait for Mashiach. Right? Here's the word Yeshua. It's in Tzipita Yeshua, here's the word Yeshua. We awake. So I'll tell you two stories, and these are funny stories, but it also, how far, how much do we have to go? So the story about this chassid who used to, every single night, he went to sleep dressed in a suit, right? And in a packed bed. In case Mashiach comes in the middle of the night, I'm ready. Okay? Is it crazy? Maybe, but according to this, that's, you know, maybe he's right. There's another story Rabbi Wine tells about there was a guy in the shul who had no parnasa, and he had nothing to do, and they asked, so finally they gave him a job to stand on the roof of the shul and to wait for Mashiach. And to wait for Mashiach. And that's his job, and to tell, whenever you see Mashiach coming, you'll let us know. So Rabbi Wine says, he says, after a few months they asked him, so what do you think of the job? He says, he says, the pay's not great, but the work is steady. Okay? Okay. But what does it mean? It means that we believe that it could happen, and it could happen tomorrow. And not like the person in Muncie who said it's only a song. Because that's a lack of emunah. That Mashiach comes. Now, it's much easier to believe when you're sitting in Ashkelon, when you have a Jewish government in Jerusalem, when you'll see, it's unbelievable how the Rambam writes, you'll see in a few minutes. It's easier to believe that he can come tomorrow than, and I'll even go into greater detail in a few minutes, than if you're sitting in, let's just say, Poland in 1648, when Golinski's killing Jews and say, I believe in Mashiach. Right? Very hard to believe. Very hard to believe in Mashiach. Right? After God abandoned me, and you still believe in Mashiach, very hard.
But there was actually a prediction that Mashiach was coming in 1648.
Of course. That's what we'll come to that, actually. Source number... Or we'll get to it. Source number 18. Okay?
So is this actively waiting beyond a measure of faith? Is it really also an optimism that it's an attitude,
yes,
for tomorrow, for today? That
Jews by nature are optimistic. As bad, if they weren't optimistic, we could not survive, mm-hmm, as a people. Because when the people smack you in the face, if you're not optimistic, how can you say tomorrow will be better? And yet Jews have always said tomorrow will be better. It's an optimism, correct. It's exactly, that's, we are optimistic that Mashiach will come. We will get over this. We will survive somehow. We don't know. Rabbi Wein, I'm sure as he spoke about the story of Ruth, and he said the following. He says that he came up to him being late because they had an operation last week, and he said, Waze told me to go, this was blocked. He made him go through Nazareth. He says, when he got up in the morning, last thing he thought of was he's gonna go through the city of Nazareth to get to Lavin, right? He didn't know how he was gonna get there, but Waze gets you there, even if you don't know how you're gonna get there. He says, the people in the story of Ruth knew somehow that the last words of Ruth are about that, because it's Mashiach, that King David will be born. Mashiach will be born. The king will be born, not Mashiach, but the king will be born. They knew that. They had a certain tradition. How he's going to be born, think of the story of Ruth. It's unbelievable. Non-Jewish person from Moab, the princess, is going to marry this 80-year-old man. It's unbelievable, right? Because they had this tradition, they were ready to risk and believe in things that are not logical, right? And that's what Jewish people are not logical. If you tell anybody 100 years ago that there'll be 7 million Jews living in Israel in 100 years, including Herzl, they would say you're out of your mind, okay? Nobody would believe it. Tell people in 1948 there'll be 7 million Jews, they wouldn't believe it, right? It's not logical. Right? And if you'd say, we were able to defeat 5 armies in 6 days, they'd say, oh, no. It's 6 days, you know, the Perusha would say 6
kind
days.
Like 6 days.
Each day is a year. It's not really 6 days,
like
it's
6 days
years. It's not. Okay. You go after one, after the other, after the other. So unless we're optimistic, right, it doesn't mean we're not practical. It doesn't mean you shouldn't live your life. But if Mashiach will come tomorrow, we shouldn't be surprised. Okay? But what's going to bring Mashiach? And who is Mashiach? We have to go through. So let's go through this. Okay. The concept of Mashiach is not mentioned in the Torah, but the idea of, I'm not going to go through each one, that there's going to be an end of days is mentioned in the Torah. You got Yaakov calls his sons together in source number 7 and say, I'm going to tell you what happens at the end of days. Source number 8 in Korach, the end of days. Source number 9 in Devarim, it says, Acharit HaYamim, each one of these. And in the Nevi'im, it's much more explicit, like we saw in Habakkuk. They talk not just the end of days, but how it's going to happen, etc., etc. All kinds of things. And I'm not going to go through all the sources, but it says the end of days. Why doesn't the Torah tell us the words Mashiach, and there will be a Mashiach, etc., etc.? So there are many different opinions of why the Torah didn't say it. And some people say, because the Torah didn't say it. There was no concept. It's a rabbinic concept. You see from the word end of days that it wasn't a rabbinic concept. There is a concept of end of days. What do you think about Mashiach? What does the Torah say? If you keep all the mitzvot, what's going to happen?
You say?
World to come.
No, it doesn't say at all about the world to come, which is a different,
you
know, not different, different week, different pay. We didn't talk about the world to come, did we? No.
We get rain.
No.
We get rain.
Which in those days, rain is Bitcoin. You understand? Rain meant Bitcoin. If everybody would get a Bitcoin, which is $25,000 today, right? You keep them in stock, you'll get a Bitcoin. Because rain meant, what did rain mean? You'll have crops. Crops meant you'll have food to, and you'll have grass. Means you'll have food to give to your animals, and your animals will be healthy, etc., etc. So when you use them to kill them for this and that, you'll get good milk and good this and good that, and you'll have crops. In those days, that's Bitcoin. Okay? So what does God promise the people? He promised they'll be wealthy. Why do you promise them they'll be wealthy if they keep mitzvot, which are spiritual? Okay? You have to understand. First of all, the number of people, 3 million Jews, and we're talking about, that's like the Torah in 3,000 years ago, after they got to the land, etc., etc. First of all, most people in the world could not read at that time. But most people were very simple Jews. If you say to somebody, if you keep the mitzvot for your whole life, After you live 70 years, you'll get Mashiach. I wouldn't speak to anybody. Nobody's going to keep mitzvah for 70 years because maybe Mashiach will come. Maybe you'll get Olam Haba. Maybe you'll get spiritual. You'll have a phenomenal spiritual life afterwards. Who's going to keep mitzvah for that? But if God tells you, you're going to have a very, you'll get some Bitcoin, that's going to attract a lot more Jews, even today, correct?
Yeah.
And therefore, spiritual rewards are there, but they're not mentioned specifically in the Torah. Because it wouldn't speak to people, most people. Now, there are some intellectuals and some people who are spiritual by nature and will say, okay, I can accept that. But God has to speak to everybody, and God talks to everybody. Bitcoin talks to everybody. Okay? So, let's go on. What will bring Mashiach? As I said, there are many, many opinions. What generation do this, generation do that. So let's go with one opinion in Sanhedrin. This is the among those pages in Sanhedrin in the 96, 97, 98, 99 that talk about Mashiach. And we're going to see here there's going to be the argument. Okay? Source 11. Amarat, kulo kalat kitzin, v'ein hadavar talui yalo b'tshuva ma'asim tovim. The only thing that's going to bring Mashiach is tshuva and doing mitzvot, doing good deeds. Ushvul amar, dai la'avel she'amot ve'lo, I don't explain it, I mean, he says no. It says that's not going to bring Mashiach. Well, it's not important, we can bring Mashiach. Kitanai, because this is an argument not only among the Amorayim after the Mishnah, but even in the Mishnaic times. Rabbi Elezer Omer, in Israel, in tshuva nigalim. Rabbi Eliezer said, only if the people do tshuva as a people will Mashiach come. If not, the Mashiach will not come. Amalei Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua argues and says, if ain't no sin tshuva, ain't nigalim, there will be no Mashiach if the people don't repent. Ela kadosh baruch hu ma'amin lehem Mashiach shekeiro tov kashot kehaman. I don't have time to go through that. But he says, there will be a Mashiach no matter what. Yisrael osim tshuva ma'asirin mutar. And when the Mashiach comes, because the Mashiach is there, the Jews will eventually do tshuva. Basically, Rabbi Yeshua says, Mashiach will come no matter what. And Shmuel and Rabbi Eliezer says, Mashiach will come based on the Jewish behavior. Which one's right? Okay, we don't know.
And they're both right.
Okay, look what it's... The Rambam Paskins like the opinion of Rabbi Rav and Rabbi Eliezer, and he says the following. He feels that Ein Yisrael Nigalin Ela B'tshuva. You only will have Mashiach when the Jewish people repent. Ukvarati Chatorah Shesof Yisrael Asot Tshuva. The Torah already promised us that at the end of days the Jewish people will indeed repent. Halavai, be tomorrow. At the end of their diaspora, Umiyari Nidalin Mashiach will come immediately. You know what they say? Mashiach is ready to come tomorrow. Problem is, he doesn't know what hat to wear. Right? Because the Mashiach comes with a kippah, strugah. Half the Jewish religious people in the world would say, I'm not accepting it. If he comes with a hat that's tilted a certain way, then half the world will not accept that. If he comes without a kippah, of course nobody will accept it, even though I can prove to you we have Mashiach on kippah. Moshe Rabbeinu probably never wore a kippah, okay? And if therefore, there's no one to wear, okay? It's obviously a metaphor for we can't agree, but we'll come back to that. There's a fantastic pasuk in Yeshayahu that says the following. And with this, hopefully we'll finish by 9:50. Hakaton yiyela elef, atzoreh levayatzum. The small group of people, the Jewish people, will eventually become much larger and strong. And then it says, Ani Hashem, Bi'ita Achishema. The last two words seem to conflict with each other. Bi'ita means Mashiach will come in his time. Achishema means I will hide his coming from the people. Oh, no, sorry. Achishema means I will speed his coming. He will come in his time, and I will speed his coming. So what does that mean? So to turn it over, source number 14 explains. Amar Rabbi Alexander, or Yeshua ben Levi Rami, Kativ Bi'ita. It says in his time, Ukhtiv Achishena. Zamu Achishena. If the Jewish people are deserving, he will come earlier. Lo Zachu Bi'ita. They don't deserve it. Mashiach will come at this time. Okay? On this, Rav Sadia Gaon in 15, I don't know if I should read it inside, he says there are two possibilities. Shnei Zmanim, one of them because of tshuva, and the second is because the Mashiach is supposed to come at that time. Okay? Okay. And then he goes on, he says, if the Jewish people do tshuva, we can speed up this time Mashiach is supposed to come. If we don't do tshuva, it will come eventually anyway. On this, this is important to read only because, not only because I learned with him, you'll see the brilliance of, a little of the brilliance, of Rabbi Soloveitchik. You've heard of Rabbi Soloveitchik? The latest one in terms of the, you know, one who passed away in 2003, yeah, right, 20 years ago. He says the following, and I'll read it very quickly because it's more to be self-explanatory. Usually he's very complicated. Rambam says, based on this argument between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, for Rabbi Eliezer, like Rabbi Eliezer, the Ein Yisrael Nigalei Ne'elam B'Tshuva, that he will only come after the Jewish people do Tshuva. And he says, well, wait a second, that doesn't make sense. Ela She'ein HaDorim Shutim Klal. How could the Rambam say that? She'ken HaLacha Zomar She'en HaMura. This, if the Rambam says only with the people do Tshuva, we have a very big problem. HaMorer Ki'ilu Et HaNunam B'Yat HaMashiach. How can you believe in Mashiach if you say it depends on the Jewish people doing tshuva? She'im yisodot emunat hayadut, as nikba'a ki'ikar ha'aron. We know that the Rambam says that this is part of Jewish belief, there will be Mashiach. But in yisod l'fi Rabbi Yoshua, I'm doing it because of time and because it's a, if we hold like Rabbi Yoshua, she'bein asu tshuva, bein lo asu tshuva, nigalim, v'nicha. If we hold like Rabbi Yoshua, there's no problem. Mashiach is going to come no matter what the Jewish people do. Rabbi Eliezer, that it depends on Jewish behavior. It's dependent on tshuva. The laws of tshuva, the difference is, if we don't do tshuva, he won't come.
Okay.
How can you say as an imam? Echad shalomani imam. He will delay, like he said at the beginning, and it'll never come. So he answers this, The Rambam answers this question, because he says, God, Torah already promises us. The concept that the Jews will do tshuva is part of the tradition. It's not that if the Jews do. We believe that the Jews will do tshuva. Yisrael as a people, we will. Part of this belief is that the Jewish people will never be destroyed, which is pretty, remember the Rambam was lived in the 1200s. Many times we thought since 1200, it's the end of the Jewish people, including in 1945. And therefore he says that the promise from that, not only Shehid Shtayim, there's two promises. Knesset Yisrael is a Chalek Liyah. We physically will never come from physical destruction. We will never completely assimilate the Tmiyah Ruchanit. Neither threat will consume the Jewish people. Of course, there were many people who assimilated and many people who were killed. I will sow Israel, I sow tshuva. We believe that at the end, Jewish people will the belief in the Jewish people, and if you call it the specialness of the Jewish people, and that we won't be destroyed, is tied to the belief of Mashiach. Okay, that's what he says. Now we come to the problem of, because the Jewish people believed in Mashiach and were optimistic, the more Jewish people were tortured, the easier it was for them to say Mashiach's coming tomorrow. Obviously, right? You mentioned there have been hundreds of false messiahs in Jewish history. There's even a book about it, somebody wrote recently. All the false messiahs. The most famous one, though, was
Shabtai Tzvi.
Okay? The Shabtai Tzvi, 1648. Why Did Shabtai Tzvi claim the Mashiach in 1648? Why not the 1648 then? Okay. So therefore, the Rambam, the Gemara says, and the Rambam says, I'll tell you an interesting story about that in a second, says the following, source 17. Amar Yishon Banachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan. Tipach Ruchan, Tipach Hatzman Shalmachat Shveikitzin. Your bones should fall apart. Anybody who's trying to figure out when Mashiach is going to come. Why? Because what happens if you say Mashiach will come this day, this time, etc., etc., like in other religions, and he doesn't come? What will people say? The rabbi gets up and says he's going to come, and he doesn't come. What will people say? Just like you weren't right about that, you weren't right about Moshe Rabbeinu, everything. The Gemara says that. If you say it's going to come at this time and he doesn't come, he's not going to come at all. Therefore, not only is not going to come, but I won't believe in Judaism. The rest of the Rambam paskins, it is usher to say exactly when Mashiach is going to come based on your calculations. Okay? Interestingly enough, okay, so one of the things, why did Shabtai Tzvi, again, I see time is, we're fighting time, why did Shabtai Tzvi, they believe that 1/3 of the Jewish people, of the rabbis, maybe probably half the people, believe Shabtai Tzvi was really Mashiach. Why do you think that was?
Because things were so bad, they wanted to see.
Okay, the logical reason things were so bad, they looked for a reason why things are so bad, and they said, they're so bad, you know, they will explain, because Mashiach is coming, they had to be that bad. Okay? Rabbi Wein said because he had a great publicist. Rabbi Nathan was his publicist and really did a great job of convincing the world. But one of the things he said, it's true, is that 1648 was Khmelnytsky, where 100, and not only that, the torture of Jews was so great that as a result of Khmelnytsky and the result of all the torture and the result of Shabtai Tzvi, born out of that was a need to have a different way of looking at Judaism. And the Hasidic movement came about shortly thereafter and could have evolved into a false messiah. It's not for the Vilna Gaon, according to many, whatever. But the whole reason for Hasidus was because people were longing for a new way to look at Judaism. Okay? Rambam, this I always quote source 18. We're in which year are we in now in Hebrew?
Tavshin Pei Gimel,
which means if you add up the numbers, 783. The 5,000 they dropped because it's been 5,783 years, so they don't have to say 5,000. 783. Okay.
200 and something years.
No, 783. That's what we are. Tavshin Pei Gimel. Avshat Ben Tzvi said he was there. He said, first of all, he was a Kohen, and he said, I will prove to you that this is the year of Mashiach. It says in source 18, Bizot Yavo Aaron al HaKodesh. The Kohen Gadol will come to the Beit HaMikdash in Zot. What is Zot? Zot is the year that will come. What is the year? Zot? 408, right? 408 is exactly 1648. So he proved that this is the time of Mashiach, right? That's why you don't figure out when Mashiach is going to come, okay? Because he wasn't the Mashiach, and he eventually became Muslim, and many Jews left the faith as a result, okay? Okay, let's go on. And therefore, we should not regret. I'll tell you two quick stories. I had a friend, a Rebbe, Aaron Akefet, had the following story, and I remember this happening in 73 War, on Sukkot in 73 War. It said in Yom Kippur War, it says on Sukkot in the Haftorah, it's going to be the fight, the war of Gog and Magog. And all the students came to me and said, Yom Kippur War, it's the Russians again, the Americans, really, isn't this Magog, Magog, isn't this time Mashiach? And he said, come back to me in 6 months, we'll talk. Of course, 6 months happened, everything settled down, nobody saw any big changes in anything, and nobody had any issues. But at the time, we're so caught up in the current events. The other thing he says is, when he was a soldier, remember, Kevin likes to jokes and exaggerate, he says he would want to curse out his commanding officer, but he doesn't want to curse. So he's not called the Rambam. Tipach Rucham, he would say. Tipach Rucham, Shomachash Vekitzi, he would say quietly. Your bones should come apart. Right? So he talked about his commanding officer. He says, I'm not cursing, I'm quoting the Rambam. Anyway, all right. Now, what will be, here we up to. How will life change in Messianic times? Okay, I'm not going to go through all the different opinions, because there are many, many different opinions. But there's two basic, if you call it, camps. One camp will be nature will change, based on the famous Pasuk 22, the gods are Aven Keves, that a wolf will be able to sit and lie together with the lamb, and they will be best buddies, and Amer and Gidi, and a tiger with a goat, right? The Egel with fear, the lion with the Egel with lamb, right? And everybody will get along, right? Nature will change. Not only will the Jews not be the center of attack, right? But nature will change itself. That's the obvious proof. And therefore, don't ask me to get into one thing I will not talk about is that I know nothing enough about it to make sense. See, as I'm 18, what happens to people who are dead. But at least in Messianic times, life will go on, but it will be different. People will be nice to each other. People, there'll be peace. Okay? We'll see a couple of sorts like that in a minute. Okay?
Is that the end of days?
The end of days. Whatever that means, yes, it's the end of days. Right? Before the good. We'll get to it in a few minutes. Okay? I see you only have 10 minutes left. All right? You know, the Gemara is amazing. It never talks about philosophy. It only talks about the context of halacha. So the halacha that you're not allowed to wear on Shabbos a piece of jewelry that looks like a weapon. Because weapons are not allowed on Shabbos, whatever. So that Gemara is talking about is what about at the time of Mashiach? There won't be any weapons. Therefore, you'll be able to wear the jewelry. Right? That's how they talk about it. So along comes Shmuel and says, no. Ein bein olam hazeh. Towards last, second line of source 19, the last two words. Amar Shmuel, ein bein olam hazeh l'yimot ha-Mashiach, el shibud malchut goliyot bilvad. The only difference, nature will not change, nothing will be different. The only thing is that nobody will be able to tell the Jews what to do. The Jews will not be subject to a human authority. There'll still be poverty, according to Shmuel. According to others, and so that's one opinion. Others, all things will go away. Source number 20 again. I'll say the news quickly because of time. Source number 20. Eli Mota Mashiach, Shein Behem Lo Zchut V'Lo Chuvah. And we'll see what that means is that people will not be jealous of each other. People will not try to get ahead. Everybody will be treated equally, etc., etc., which is a change in human nature, right? And the Shmuel, and he argues with Shmuel, says, no, Ein Behem Mota Mashiach, El Hashibin Malchut Levah. Okay? The Rambam basically holds like, we're going to see, like Shmuel, but with a twist. He says, 21, don't think that the king Messiah has to do supernatural miracles, and makes things new in the world, change everything, brings back the dead. And he says, don't think nature will change. Nature will not change. Okay? But we're going to see that even though nature will not change, people's attitude can change. I would say, have you ever been in Israel when we've been at the height of war, right? Let's say during, I remember Iraq very well, when they threw the Scuds, right? Everybody was so nice to each other. Everybody was saying, we're in this together, it's life and death. And everybody was so nice to each other, right? That's the way it's gonna be. People will be nice to each other. That doesn't mean you have to change nature. It's within us to be nice to each other, but you have to have a different attitude. We'll come to it. I just threw it in because of time. Okay? So then he says, the writer who was the protagonist of the Rambam in 24, so the Rambam in 23 says, don't think that he will life will change. I extended the Rambam, who's saying it out loud, not inside, it's in time. When it says that the lion will lie with the lamb, he says that's meant to be understood metaphorically, right? It means that the Jewish people will not have any enemies, right? And he says this, second line, Shehu Yisrael Yoshim Levetach in Rishei Akum Mishulim, because the whole world will recognize that the Jewish God is the correct God, and therefore they will have no desire to destroy Jews. They look up to Jews. And therefore, the whole idea, and people will get along with each other because they realize that in Messianic times, the more you can do mitzvot, the closer you can get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll change our attitude, but not nature itself. And the writing on this in 24 says, that's ridiculous. He says, Hayel Neshu HaNoshiach, etc. Amar Avram, Halot Tarah V'Shafti Chaya Rah Min Aretz. God promised that he will get rid of all the bad animals in the land. So that's a change in nature. So what are you telling me? So there is two opinions, all right? Okay, because of time, I'm gonna, who is Mashiach? Now remember, the Rambam did not live in the state of Israel. The Rambam lived in Egypt when there was no state in Israel. I lived in the state of Israel in 1500 years. For the Rambam to say, to write what he did, you would think that he's living today. Why? He's going to say something at his time, while there's no state, there's no generals, there's no army, there's no anything, right? And yet he writes this way, and this is, he postulates this way. Hamelach, source 26, and now we'll see who Mashiach is. Hamelach, HaMashiach, Atid La'amod La'asir, Malchut Beit David, the Yoshna, he will reestablish the house of David. L'memshala Rishana, a government, like any other government. U'bonea Mikdash, he will build the Beit HaMikdash, we will come into details in a minute. U'mekabeis Sitchei Yisrael, and he will get all the Jews to come from all over the world. Now, when I learned this the first time when I was in my 20s, I said, I could think of a general who might be able to defeat all the armies and build the Beit HaMikdash, but how is he going to get all the Jews to come to Israel? How is he even going to speak to all the Jews? This is before there was cable. This is before there was social media, where one person has access to the whole world, right? Before there was an ability. If a person is charismatic enough, think about this, the Rambam writes, person is charismatic enough, and he's a general, and he's a Torah scholar, and he is charismatic enough to talk, and he wins all the wars, right? And he convinces people to come to Israel, Jews to come to Israel. He's Mashiach. And that would have been absurd in 1200. Would have been absurd in 1965, correct? But today, if a guy was really, really a general in the Israeli army who everybody looks up to, and he's a Talmud, and he has a great gift of speech, he's a Jewish Obama, okay? I'm talking to Havdil, a million Havdils. But if he has ability to speak, and convince people, and et cetera. It could be, anybody has the ability to speak and convince people, right? Charismatic enough. Look what it says. Source number 28 says, Jabtilaki Mogo Mashiach, Ian Milchamet Mogo Mogo, originally. First, there will be this fight between two great powers in the world, Gogo Mogo, Yamod Navi Liyasher Yisrael. There will be a prophet to tell the Jewish people to keep the Torah. Lochim Yibam, get them out of it. Okay? The Eyabal Tamel Tahor, this prophet will not come to be paskin anything. Like it says, not so much important. It's going to be Eliyo, just create peace in the world. 29 is more important. The Inyamo Melech Beit David. And this will be a person, okay? Who happens to be from Beit David. Hogev Torah, he knows how to learn Torah. Well, sacred mitzvot, and he observes all the mitzvot. Ki David, like his great-great-grandfather David. Kefi Torah shebechtav v'shebal peh, according to the traditions of the Torah, the written Torah, and the oral Torah. V'yikov kol Yisrael elechva, and he is a big mekarev. He's able to get Jews to believe in the Torah, right? U'lechazek b'datka, Yilachem l'chamot Hashem, and he will fight against our enemies. Harezu b'chezkat yom Mashiach. Now, we can consider him Mashiach, but we're not 100% sure. Because in the time of Bar Kokhba, Rabbi Akiva thought it was Mashiach, but then it turned out he wasn't. Then it says, and he convinced everybody to come, and he really did a great, 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 great speaker. V'tzliach, and then, v'banah ha-mikdash, v'mkomo, v'kibeis nimcha Yisrael, he built the Beit HaMikdash, and got everybody to come to Israel. Arezeh Mashiach v'adai. Again, 100 years ago, we said, okay, that's never going to happen. Today, we could see it's not happening, right? It could happen. And he will have an impact on the whole world. Lavodat Hashem, that the whole world, biyachad, the word biyachad, united, will see the greatness of Hashem. Okay? Azeh tochet amim safa brura, they will talk one language. Likro lukulam b'shem Hashem, ulavam shchem echad. Okay? Then he says, what will the world be like then? And this is because we have to finish. The purpose of the times of Messiah is not that the Jews will rule the world, but that the Messiah will rule the world. They will not, you know, be their bosses. Not have parties. People will realize the greatness of learning Torah. Okay? The Chachmata. And have no other excuse only to learn Torah. But the world will go on. Elsewhere he says, the Rambam, the competition between people will go away. People will not feel they have to be better than everybody else in order to succeed. And everybody will get along. Okay? Source 31, 32, 33. I'm not going to go into. But I will allude to one thing that we said in the past. Remember we said in the past that there's a concept of nationalism and nationalism always has to be first before there is religion. Remember any of that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What's interesting enough is that if you look at the Shmon Esrei, the rabbis who made the Shmon Esrei, and if you look at Source 33, and they made the order the way they did, if you look at the Shmon Esrei, the 17th bracha is, first will be built Yerushalayim, and then it says that Tzemach David Atacham Erat Atzmiah. Then Mashiach will come. Mashiach will build it, but the concept of Mashiach will only be realized, the spiritual concept of Mashiach, after there's a physical building of Jerusalem, whether it be the temple or not. There are those that say the temple will come by fire, but God again. I've taken one approach, because if I took every approach, it'd be until 2 in the morning. But what's interesting is, there is a very strong opinion that there won't be one Mashiach, and you can read it for yourself, there'll be two Mashiachs. There'll be a Mashiach ben Yosef, which is quoted in the Gemara Sukkah, which represents the nationalistic Mashiach, who will be killed for some reason, and the 36th, the Vilna Gaon talks about this Mashiach ben Yosef, that's coming. And then Mashiach ben
David
will come. But Mashiach ben David will only be a spiritual person. He won't be a Navi. He will be a Navi too, probably. But we see he's a soldier. He's a combination of both. He's the spiritual, he's the teacher of Torah, but he's also a soldier. He convinces people to come and keep all the mitzvot, spiritual, but he builds the Beit HaMikdash physically. And therefore, although we don't know of anybody who currently lives who could be. We can imagine somebody really special coming up through the ranks, maybe, and certainly much more realistic with the Jewish army now than ever before. Okay? Next week we will do, I see your hand, but if you come over after, because I don't want to keep the people.
Can we continue this next week?
I'm going to do Tzadik Baralo next week. Okay, you can ask any question you want to ask. Come on, you feel free to ask.
Why believe that there's a Mashiach in every generation?
As I said, there are many things. People thought the Lubavitch Rebbe was Mashiach. It's nice to think he's Mashiach when he's alive. When he's not alive anymore, you think of, then it's very Christological. They think, the Christians think the Mashiach came. According to us, now you understand why Jesus couldn't have been Mashiach. The world is still the same world. According to us, life will be different when Mashiach comes. Right? The world is that's your tetra. So too, we don't believe somebody's going to die and then come back the second time as Mashiach. So therefore, to say that the Rebbe who died is going to come back as Mashiach is very not
Jewish.
If you want to call normative Judaism. There are some Mashiachistim, well, Mashiachistim among Chabad, but I found it's not the majority.
I read it only takes 10% of the people to bring Mashiach. 10%
there are many, many things that are read that are written. That's the point. I gave you one derech of the Rambam.
We're close.
Okay. Can you put the recording on the group?